Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. We're so excited to have some conversation with you today, and we thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about church health and even maybe a little bit about leader health, but specifically its impact on individuals in the church and in the culture. And so very excited to have Gabby Nordell from Boise, Idaho with us today, along with, of course, my co-host, Peter Belschwinder. Again, I'm Marcus Carlson, the executive director of Preparing for Amazement Ministries. And so we're going to just dive in and again, talk a little bit about the impact of the health of a culture on its people and on its leaders. So Gabby, thanks for joining us. Like, this is our like fifth or sixth version of this episode, if you will, of the podcast. So I'd love to hear from your perspective and your experience as someone who's been in churches and done some ministry work with parachurch ministries. Why do you think the health of a church matters? Like, as a congregation member, as a participant, why do you think health matters?
Well, thank you for having me during your podcast. Church, healthy culture of the church matter, because if it's not healthy, it affects everyone in the community. And I was the one that got affected by church, with church hurt through the imploded church in my community. And that affected my well-being of my health and others in my communities, and just the culture of the church. It's it was just really unhealthy to be part of. And I have, this last couple of years, I have been on a journey of just the trauma of the church hurt, on a journey of healing. And then I'm a place of healthier again and reflecting back with what a healthy church looked like. With my own experience that I can tell you, there are some definitely some characteristic of an unhealthy church that I have experienced through that.
And I remember a little bit of the story, of course, and we won't get into that too much, but obviously there was a very significant conflict, which, you know, made very visible the unhealth of the culture. But did you notice the unhealth of the culture before the conflict, or was it just after this conflict that you started to ask questions?
I think I had okay, let's just say I haven't been exposed much to various different types of churches. And so I was really naive in what a healthy church looked like, because it is what it is. Because I've belonged to that community for so long. I met Jesus in that community. I got married in that community. I was established as a member of that community church. And so, in comparing to what is a healthy church look like, I was not exposed to very many churches to understand that. So I would say afterwards of what of finding out and a church imploded, that I realized walking through that what an unhealthy church culture looked like.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Very good. Sounds like a similar situation that I was in. Born and raised in a toxic church, you don't know any better, but that's just the nature of it. I mean, you get in these patterns of unhealth and you don't know when to step away. So glad that you're getting help and healthy. But I do have a follow-up. You know, what impact does an unhealthy church culture have on those in the culture?
Ooh, I guess for me, just being in that church culture for so long, for me, it was just a sense of belonging. Wasn't trying to figure out what that looked like to be part of a community, and unhealthy, what I experienced as unhealthy church culture afterward of realizing in comparison what that looked like is you had to conform to the majority of the culture of the body in that church, look like, act like, to fit in. And so I never felt a sense of belong in that church, and I was searching for what does belonging look like. But I feel like I had to fit in by acting certain way, by doing certain way, without stepping out of the boundary of what expected of the church culture there. There is like hierarchy of leaderships, of the elders, the one that make all the decisions, and the lack of accountability is there. There's no check and balance of on the leadership, especially the elders. Lack of transparency and open communications there. And the church it's been around for a long, long time. It's like one of the oldest church in our community, 75 years old at least, from a couple of years ago. We celebrated 75 years anniversary. There was like protecting the status quo of the church. And there's lack of, it's just like I feel like the unhealthy church is what I've seen is the protected church, protected truth is focusing on holiness culture versus being a healthy church is open communication, inviting, hospitable, inviting more in diversity, more into the community, not protect in a way of us versus them, of keeping holiness in protecting just of more focus and law gatekeepers and law givers. And when you do that, you pick and choose who you want to be part of your community, and you cast out others that do not look and act and behave like you. And that's what was realizing that's what the unhealthy church community after experiencing that for myself. It just so come across as so judgmental and moral focus and consumptions of head knowledge versus the transparency of living that out in the community of what that looked like as the body of Christ. And what I found experience in my context is like, wait a minute, we should do Micah 6:8, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly as a community to extend that love to your neighbors. And we're not doing that. Well, all we do is just like status quo of just consuming Bible knowledge. Mm. Keeping who's in and who's out as gatekeepers. And it just, and the lack of vision for as a church body, as a community, what that looked like as a vision, kingdom values, living out our kingdom values. And we're not doing that well. In a sense, we're so protective of just, of just who we are. And we just, building up the fence taller and taller versus like removing that and inviting and what the body of Christ looked like is diversity in ages. And the church I was at was mainly the boomer generations. And there was lack of trust for the younger generations to be part of. Trust in leaderships of just the discipleship of just training up the next generation was lacking in that sense. So all you have left is the boomer generation. And with the rest of the other generations, they're not trusted in leaderships and to be part of the voice to invite them into to reflect the body of Christ and what that looked like. And so, and what else? I'm going to say there's no open communications, lack of openness in community communicating to the body, top-down decision-making, the leadership style. Elders would be in those positions for like, who knows, 15, 20 years plus without without lack of training, equipping the next generation. It's like, oh my goodness. And they're still, I think I also noticed like they're still living and operating in the past in their, from their generation versus going forward with changes and moving with the current culture and the generation, and is keeping up with that and being in curiosity and learning from the next generation what that look like, to invite, to hear from the current voices, the generation, to invite them in, what are their issues, what are they facing, and helping them, and to be part of those voices. But no, they're still living in the back in the future, in their own time table. And so those are the things I think, oh my goodness, not working anymore, guys. And lack of humility, of listening to others when they're so set in their stubbornness of just power. I would say it's come down to power, just to having that, the power, and not being able to relinquish the power.
Do you think it's safe to say that a lot of that desire for power was driven by fear?
Yes. So along with the line with fear is protection, right? Protecting the church. And we see that. I think just in general in the big church, that is the fear of protection versus the versus coming from a place of love. It's just the foundation, the church, to be a place of love. And Jesus called us, the greatest commandment is to love. And what that love look like is to extend and be, to be the light, is an extension of holiness out there to the world. Instead, it's the protection, fear of what church, us versus them. So we become a moral and gatekeepers versus, it's fear. It's driven by fear for sure. So,
yeah, I'm getting ready to preach this weekend on the passage where Jesus walks on the water. And, I was just reading it before we sat down for the podcast, and it amazes me, the first thing that Jesus says to the disciples as he's, walking on the water is, do not be afraid. And, some scholars say that, do not fear, do not be afraid appears, 365 times in the Bible, some say, more than that, some say less, right? But it's interesting, all the encounters I can think of, from the transfiguration to the burning bush to this, anytime these folks encounter God, particularly in the miraculous, God's first words, Jesus's first words are, do not be afraid, which, by the way, if I'm on the Sea of Galilee, which I've been on the Sea of Galilee, and there's a storm and there's a dude walking on the water, fear is front and center for me. And so I always think it's interesting that, in these moments it says, do not be afraid. And I think that I've been listening to a book from a professor that teaches at my undergrad college. He was not there when I was there. And the book is called The Sin of Certainty, and talks a lot about, trust, right? Which really, I remind people that the opposite of fear is actually not courage, it's trust. And, I think that so often in churches, it's one of our signs of unhealth is that we don't trust God, right? We've got to control, like you said, who's in and who's out, right? We've got to be able to have the certainty to know that we're going to heaven, and the person who sins differently than us, who sins in a way that scares us or disgusts us, is, is not going to heaven, right? And certainly, you saw plenty of that. But what's also interesting to me, you kept talking about belonging, right? And, you really highlight one of the things we talk about in the habits of healthy churches, that, healthy churches focus on adoption over assimilation. So obviously, you didn't grow up in Boise, right? And And you know, you're in this culture that probably is different culturally than you, different, you know, in appearance, and all of that. Was belonging harder for you because of that, whether that be gender or race or, you know, accent or nationality, or was it just such an assimilation culture that it didn't matter, that none of those things mattered?
Well, just ethnically who I am and where I'm at in Boise is majority, I'm a minority. And there's only a few of me in the church that look like me. And so I always had to feel for my safety of just a sense of trying to fit in. I never felt have a sense of belonging, but to feel belong, I have to fit in to their culture norm of what is expected, right? And to me, it's just like, I'm questioning, like, is there a really, truly a belonging in any setting, in any spaces, to be honest, because there's limitation in belonging, right? Because right. There's limitation. You cannot truly bring your full self, your whole self of who God made you into anything to really belong to a community. You can try to have a sense of belonging, create that space of safety for people and in curiosity and hospitable. But well, we all know that Sunday is the most, what is that from?
The most segregated hour in
yes,
any week
yeah.
in the United States. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like that if you cannot bring, I've never felt like I can bring my full self in the church space to truly worship God. Because I can only bring certain part of me that is to fit in so I can assimilate to feel like I belong, but never truly as a whole self to truly belong. And God wants us to bring a full self. We're made in his image to bring his full self, so we can worship him wholeheartedly as a body of Christ, right? There's different parts
yeah.
of us. It's just like, we have not arrived in a sense of the full of Christ.
Right. I mean, and that's ironic, right? Because isn't the church supposed to be the place where belonging happens well and where community is healthy? And
right.
you talked about, you know, being afraid, right? And I'm sure you're referring to, you know, the fear, not feeling safe, right? I'm sure you're referring to emotional safety. Maybe not so much physical safety, right? But you know, how do we encounter the risen Jesus in a place where we don't feel emotionally safe? And so obviously, if a lot of people don't feel emotionally safe, that's probably not a healthy culture. I'm gonna, you know, go ahead and guess. And so, you know, I think that that's, you know, I'm sorry that you had that experience. And you know, again, we're supposed to be free in Christ. That doesn't mean, you know, anything goes, but it does mean that we ought to be able to, you know, be who God's created us to be. Now, you've worked with a lot of leaders and you've, you know, done some leadership stuff. So, you know, what kind of role do you think health has for leaders? You know, as you've interacted, you know, you just came back from a conference with some pastors, you've been around pastors, you've been a part of parachurch ministries, you know, when, you know, you've done some leadership stuff yourself. So what kind of role does health play for you as a leader and for other leaders from your experience?
Oh my goodness. Over is huge. Personal health, leaders' health is huge. That impacts the culture of the church is huge. What we bring to ourselves, a healthy self, you're going to have a healthy part of you. You're going to cultivate a healthy church culture. If you bring the unhealthy, if ever bring in the unhealthy, you're going to create that unhealthy culture. And what a healthy leaders look like is just awareness, a lot in the a lot of hard internal work of self-awareness, emotional intelligence, just knowing your setting your boundary, just knowing your limitations. You are not a superhuman. And a lot of the unhealthy leaders that I have worked with and experienced and around with are the one that they think they're superhuman and that they can operate nonstop without rest or Sabbath. And that is so unhealthy because we have to trust that this is God's ministry and we are invited into his work. And there's limitation in us as humans that we need physical rest and emotional, mentally, overall as a being, there's limitations. And we have to be aware of our limitations and take care of those parts that in order to be filled up with Jesus' spirit and rest in him. And spiritual rest, but physical rest as well. And then able to bring a full self into a healthy self into the work that he's inviting us into and not the other way around. We're thinking that we are indispensable and that we have to do everything and that we are the one that is saving the world. No, Jesus is the one who's saving you. We are the one who's being invited into his work. And trusting him and setting boundary with having Sabbath and rest and our own spiritual formation walk with Jesus and just more self-awareness of herself of just it's hard work and it's not an easy work and it's a constant work and constant trusting and putting our trust in Jesus and his work, his missions for the church.
Preach it, sister. Preach it. Peter, thoughts or questions? Thoughts on, your thoughts on some of what Gabby shared or other questions for her?
It's all good. All that stuff is so good. You know, Gabby, you talked about your church being an older church. I'm from an older church as well. And I think it was our 75th anniversary, ironically, we had this banner that hung outside the front of the church that said, you know, praise for the past, faith for the present, hope for the future. And a great, great saying, but the problem with our church being, you know, not one that discipled is that they were praising the past and they were destroying their future because they were living in what they used to be. So many churches now are living in, well, this is what we did back in this revival and the Jesus Revolution and throughout the early 90s and cultures changed. And, you know, that's, I would say pointedly, I think some churches are idolatrous of their past when they talk about it. I mean, it is an idol in the church and it's destroying the church. And unfortunately, we're going to have more and more people like yourself and myself who have gone through these toxic situations because of those scenarios. It's just a shame that it has to be this way, but it's very interesting. And then your last point too about, self-awareness as a seminarian right now, that's one thing that I've actually heard said to me, you know, I'm almost finished my first year and I'm like, I don't feel like I've grown that much. And then other people are like, you're a lot more self-aware than you were in September. You've grown a lot in that area. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess, it's not something I took into consideration before, but now it's a heightened thing where I'm deliberate about a Sabbath. Really deliberate. I mean, Saturday, the only person that can talk to me is my wife through my cell phone. I don't respond to anyone else. So I think for leaders too, it's like what you said, it is the most important thing to be self-aware, to take Sabbath, to not try and, you know, don this hero complex because, you know, you have REV before your name. That's not what it means. Mm-hmm. Bravo. Everything that you said was good. It was awesome. So, yeah.
Can I share this quote from Bonhoeffer? People who love their dream of community will destroy community, but the people who love those around them will create community. And it just made me think that community is relational and connections, right? And I think for so long the church has focused on programs and doing programs versus people and relationships and connections. And because it focused so much on programs and being holy, holiness, and versus love, and that we have lost that the art of hospitality and being human in empathies and authentic and transparent and recognize our limitations and all of that. And in order to have community, you need to bring all that back and focus on people and care for their people in the church, in the community, what that look like, and walking along and journaling with them along the side of where they're at versus adding more programs and focusing on that, and in order to for the church to flourish as representations of diversity and the kingdom of God, what that look like is people, is relationships and love.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times in the church when we focus on holiness, discipleship may or may not happen, but when we focus on discipleship, holiness is more likely to happen. Yeah, right. And a holiness that's loving and gracious, as opposed to a holiness that's, you know, fear driven. And I met Gabby just a little over 2 years ago when I was first in Boise, and Gabby has the gift of hospitality, particularly around food and baking, the best macaroons, you know, that I've had in the U.S. at least. In the U.S., you know, not so much maybe France, but fair enough. But, you know, Gabby, what's exciting for me is, you know, over these little over 2 years, just to watch like how you've grown. So, you know, God has used this pain and this hurt, and God has used unhealthy leaders and unhealthy churches to help you get healthier, for you to have greater self-knowledge and figure out what God's calling you to do. And so while we don't want to encourage unhealthy leaders or unhealthy churches, the beautiful news is that God can take unhealthy leaders and unhealthy churches and use it for good. And so certainly, you know, I can say that I've seen that in you, and I hope that you, in the midst of your continued healing and self-work and self-knowledge and your church PTSD, right, which is a real thing, you know, I hope that you can see some of that too.
Yes, thank you. I think I have redefined what church is. I think before it just is behind the walls. To me, for my experience, it's like, I felt like, oh, church is, I have redefined what church is. And church to me is people and community, and that removes the barriers of walls and denominations, and just the people of faith coming together and create community and relationships. And that's what church is for me.
Awesome.
What I have learned through my own experience and church hurt.
Amen. I mean, that's certainly not inconsistent what we see in the book of Acts. So, well, yes. I appreciate you making the time today and sharing and letting us ask you questions, because I know some of this is sensitive, and certainly, you know, some of it is, you know, still wounds that are healing, but really appreciate your perspective and what we can learn from you and what other leaders can learn, that, you know, that unhealth doesn't just affect attendance or staffing, but affects the people in the church and how they see themselves and how they use their gifts and how they encounter Jesus. So appreciate your vulnerability and honesty and for joining us on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, again, want to thank Gabby Nordell for joining us from Boise, and for Peter, our podcast guru and co-host, and just the opportunity to talk about these issues of leader health and church health and how it affects regular people as they pursue their relationship with Jesus. So again, this has been Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. And as always, you can learn more by visiting amazed15.org.